Good morning, this is Kate Olson from the Cass County Office of Iowa State University Extension and Outreach with your Extension Report on this Wednesday morning. School's back in session, kids are growing up, and our Science of Parenting blog this month answers a difficult question as our children get older and parents start wondering about giving them independence. The question is, who needs a cell phone and when do they need it? As we get ready and get back into school this fall, it used to mean buying new clothes, basic school supplies, and a backpack. As kids get older and technology changes, new cell phones, laptops, and other technology are also part of that back-to-school and growing-up conversation. Our family life specialists from Iowa State University Extension and Outreach discuss this issue in the August issue of the Science of Parenting blog. Kids want cell phones, but not all of them need them. Some factors to consider include maturity, understanding how to use the phone safely, and responsibility, whether they're wanting their first phone or upgrading to the newest phone. Another good topic of conversation is their motivation and their understanding of the rules and regulations around using phones and other technology. Setting ground rules is also important, and understanding that the phone is a privilege and responsibility is key to keeping that privilege. The blog featured at scienceofparenting.org or linked through the Iowa State University Extension website with a quick search with the topic Science of Parenting includes tips for having this conversation with your kid. Also a 4-minute podcast where our specialists will lay out the basic discussion points. And of course, as it is a blog, lots of good discussion, interaction, and other conversation with parents and our family specialists as the month goes on. Be sure and check that out. Parents are welcomed and encouraged to join in the conversation, share their thoughts and experiences, as well as they handle this and other parenting responsibilities. Of course, the Science of Parenting blog is something we usually talk about every month, and all of the previous topics are archived on the Science of Parenting website as well, in case something that we've talked about in the past didn't really strike a chord then, but it does now. You can certainly go back, watch those resources, find the tips, and read the discussions that went on around that topic. Something else happening this time of year. We've got the yards and gardens still growing like crazy. A little heat here this week, kind of helping our vegetable gardens along, certainly helping the crops along as well, and in some cases helping the lawns and weeds along to make sure we keep mowing and weeding all the way through the fall. Our topic from our yard and garden specialists, tackling common summer and fall issues in trees. We've had quite a few different folks call, stop by the office with questions about trees. Certainly very different conditions this year than we have had for the past several years with the drought. So trees are looking quite a bit different this year. Some of them are showing signs of stress from the drought that we had for the past several years. Some of them showing those a little late as they react to all this new moisture in the soil. And then we also have several trees exhibiting symptoms of maybe some moisture-related problems, whether those be fungal-related or other diseases or pest diseases, as we have certain types of pests that are a little more common in high rain years. Whatever the reason, we do have resources for folks if they're interested and want to stop by our office and check those out. We can answer some of the basic issues. We can also send information, photos, and even samples for a fee off to campus to have our specialists look at those. A few of the topics in this week's Yard and Garden column would be magnolia scale, hackberry leaves turning brown and falling to the ground, and big hairy worms and tents on the walnut tree. Of course, some of those things, webworms for the walnut tree. Fall webworms, hairy, tan to yellow caterpillars. As they feed, the fall webworms construct tents or webs at the end of the branches. At the end of summer, tents may be 2 to 3 foot long and enclose the entire ends of branches. Fall webworms feed on more than 200 species of deciduous trees, but walnuts are their favorite host. In Iowa, the first sighting of these usually occurs about mid-August, so if you're starting to see things on your tree, that may be what it is. Fall webworms usually do not cause serious damage to healthy, well-established trees. Controls are usually not necessary. However, if you would like to minimize damage to trees, you can do control measures as soon as the tents are discovered. If you can reach them from the ground, you can prune them out and destroy the caterpillars. Insecticides can be used for control, but must be applied at high pressure to penetrate the tent and reach the caterpillar inside. And if you're planning on doing any sort of insecticide application and potentially trying to penetrate the tent, you want to do that as early as possible, as most applications after mid-September have no benefit and should be avoided in order to avoid damage to the surrounding ecosystem. If you have a hackberry tree that the leaves are browning and falling off, there's a good possibility it may be lace bugs. These are sap-feeding insects commonly found on leaves of shade and ornamental trees in Iowa. Most commonly affected trees would be hackberry, sycamore, and oak. Adult lace bugs have attractive wings that are beautifully sculptured with an intricate pattern of veins resembling lace, and that was why they have the common name lace bugs. They feed on the undersides of leaves, piercing the leaf with their sucking mouth parts and causing the characteristic pale yellow, scorched, or bleached discoloration on the upper leaf surface. The underside will be speckled with small, black, shiny spots. While these are present throughout the summer, damage usually shows up in August or September once they have been feeding on a tree for a while. The damage will vary year to year, mainly in response to natural conditions and weather, of course. Several feeding may damage, but a severe feeding may cause premature leaf drop. But in this case, usually healthy, well-established trees are not seriously harmed. Spraying insecticides of infested trees in late summer is of little to no benefit, as at this point, by the time the symptoms start to show up, much of the damage has already been done and the insects are not that susceptible and may cause more harm than good by killing the natural enemies of the pest. Those are a few of the things that we're seeing in trees right now, but as I mentioned, lots of different things going on with our trees as we get mature trees and they start seeing the results of all the weather and pest pressure that we have had through this summer. One more quick thing I want to mention. Of course, we do have mentioned this before. Master Gardener training is coming up at the Cass County Extension Office. We'd like to have folks that are interested contact our office and get registered by September 3rd in order to avoid a late fee. We will start with an orientation class on the 9th of September and we'll kick off the first webcast from campus on the 16th of September. For more information, give us a call at the Cass County Extension Office, 243-1132, or find us online anytime at the Cass County Iowa State University website. Till next time, I'm Kate Olson.